Welcome to High Lawn Baptist Church in St. Albans, West Virginia, where our mission is to know Christ and to make Christ known. We pray that you are blessed by the sharing of God's truth for us this day. For more information, visit us online at highlawnbaptistchurch.org.
So we're going to start by reviewing Matthew 5, where Jesus tells us, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Now, we've for the past few weeks, we've been talking about the Beatitudes. We've been talking about the attitudes of a Christian, the foundation of who we're supposed to be as members of the kingdom of God, who we're supposed to be both to each other and to Him, the crossway relationship. And now Jesus gives us a virtually impossible, seemingly impossible task. To be pure in heart, how many of us today can say with a straight face that, yeah, I qualify? Good, we're being honest. In fact, if you are perfect, please excuse yourself because you're going to mess the rest of us up. Stay. I know better. But to develop a pure heart, as Christ gives to us in the Holy Scriptures, it is not a condition that we're innately given when we come into this world. We come with a sin nature. We call it the old nature, the person that we were before we came to the cross. One of my professors in college called human beings, I think he called it the five F's: fallible, fickle, feeble, finite, and... that's bad enough. In need of forgiveness. I'll just tack that one on there. But God loved us so much that He gave us a way out. Through the cross of Calvary, we became, through the sacrifice that He gave for us, we have the opportunity to become children, sons and daughters of the living God, if we only believe. And we were blessed today as Hannah took her first step of obedience. And that's what it's all about, obedience, being open, being receptive, allowing the Holy Spirit to do His job by transforming us, molding us, taking the events of our lives, the Scripture and His influence, and moving us from where we were to who we have always been created to become. It's an old pastor story where a little boy was sitting next to his mom and she was teaching him how to pray in church. And this story comes up about, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And he looks up at his mom and he asks her, "How am I supposed to see God if I keep my eyes closed?" And that's a fair question. We're learning in the book of Exodus that no one, no man, no human being can see God and live. At least not while we're still captive by this earthly existence. What's even more perplexing is the idea of having a pure heart in the sense of morals, a stone cold resolution against temptation, an unwavering commitment to loving God and everyone else. Loving God can oftentimes be easy. Loving everybody else created in His image, that's a whole other ball of wax. But nevertheless, it's who we're called to be. The three great commandments: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Love your neighbor as... Jesus gave us the last one. When right before He broke the bread, when that stained glass window is meant to represent, He said, "A new commandment that I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, He didn't just say, "Regard each other friendly." He didn't say, "Be willing to hug their neck occasionally." He said, "Love them the same way that I love you. Hold nothing back." Forgive just as I've forgiven. Love as I've loved. And he gives us a promise at the end of that. They will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Loving God, everyone else, being faultless before him, that does not describe anyone living. One clue of how unimaginably complicated from our perspective this is when David writes in the Psalms, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Notice he didn't say, change my heart or clean out my heart. He said what? Create in me a clean heart. Start from scratch. Toss the old one away. Regenerate me is what we as Baptists usually call. Make me a new person, wholly and completely separate me from the things that would separate me from you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. In order to be purified, we have to die to ourselves, to our sin, to our tendency to put ourselves before God. And that happens only in one way. That's the transforming presence of the Holy Spirit of God. The relationship that we have with Christ is what sets it all off. Sin, the inborn open state of rebellion that exists within us from the time that we can tell the difference between right and wrong, does not allow us to enter into the presence of God, but his righteousness that is applied to us from the blood of Calvary, according to the Apostle Paul, now gives us the right to declare ourselves the sons and daughters of God. We now have direct access to his throne. Join with me in your copy of God's Word really quickly to John 14, 1 through 3. John 14, 1 through 3. 1 through 13, I'm sorry. Jesus is expounding on being pure in heart and then being able to enter into God's presence, because the disciples were in the presence of God. They didn't realize it at the time. John 14, 1 through 13. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. Now I'm going to pause there for a second. That translation is not all that it needs to be. And let me clarify it for a second. Oikos, from the Greek. My Father's house, that word means different things. It means house, it can mean household, it can mean family. So within my Father's family, there are many families. Within my Father's household, there are many households. Within my Father's house, as I love the translation, there are many mansions. This is not just about how many rooms are in a building. This is about the fact that whosoever will, underline that, will in your notes, who claims Jesus both as Savior and as Lord, the two have to be there, are accepted into the family of God. So in my Father's household, there are many families. All are welcome if they will only believe and accept that forgiveness, accept the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. But I love the phrase, just that it tells more about the glory of God. When we hear in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And then Thomas says to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, so how can we know the way? He's being honest. He's telling him, we give Thomas a hard time, but Thomas is telling the truth plain as day to Jesus. We don't know. You know a lot more than we do. You're the master. Explain this to us so that we can understand. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If anybody ever says that Jesus Christ did not claim to be God, point them to this passage. No one comes to the Father except through me. Oh, yeah, and for those that claim that there are more than one ways to heaven, not all religions are the same. Here's why. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you know him and you have seen him. So what is he saying? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father too, because I and the Father are one. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. I love that simple honesty. Show us the Father. One glimpse of him in glory, that wonderful old hymn says. One glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. That will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show me the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father is in me. Or at least, believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Verily I tell unto you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. This is what he means. James will go on to say that we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. That it's not enough to show up just for Sunday morning. It's not enough to just turn on the television and watch a televangelist and claim, I've had my church. It's not enough just to occasionally harbor the Bible reading within you and claim to be a Christian. Christianity is active. Christian, Christ-like is a verb. It means we do something, we are something. It's a state of being. To be pure in heart is to carry the understanding with us always that this life is not my own. I was bought with a price. I was redeemed. A lot of us have this misconception that before we can become a Christian, we have to clean up our own lives. We have to be the ones to change our habits. We have to be the ones to lay down our addictions. But just like an addiction, you can't do it on your own. You need help. See, God made it simple because otherwise we would have messed it up. He transforms us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not what? Not of yourselves, it's a gift from God, not of works. Lest any man should boast, because if we could, we would boast about it, and then we'd sin all over again, and we'd mess up. But the transforming power of God, what makes us pure in heart is not our own works, even though our responsibility is to always strive to be a reflection of Christ. Now, salvation is not a blank check to sin. Don't hear me saying that. Salvation is laying down your own will, your own desires for your own life, just like our moms. Taking up the example of Christ and living in his image, and being willing to set aside our own comforts, our own desires, our own wants, our own conveniences, to learn more about him, to love him, to love others, to love each other. To be pure in heart means to follow after him, and in everything that we do, in our conduct, our conversation, and our character, always and forever point only to him, to give him the glory for great things. You've heard this song before, great things he hath done. Verily I say to you, whoever believes in me, do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. This is the promise of Christ to you. What does it say when Jesus knows without a shadow of a doubt that his followers that will come after him will do greater works than he himself was doing? What does that say about the potential that he's invested in you if you only believe? That we will do greater things than he is recorded as doing in the Bible. Because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. That's why at the conclusion of every prayer we say, in what? Jesus' name I pray, because we have the great high priest that's right there next to the Father. That doesn't mean that he's an ATM machine and anytime you go in the clock and punch in the code, you get it. You have to be conformed to his will and his image. But that is faithful, that he is faithful. So in the Father, may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. So what he's telling us, as our example, is that everything in our life that's built up to this point is forever and always to be pointing to him. We call it sanctification. That's where we learn more about him and our relationship with him through the reading of the Word, through the experience of the Holy Spirit, through loving him actively in worship, but also engaging in discipleship, having mentors of the faith, coming into meetings like this, coming into meetings on Wednesday night, on Sunday night, learning more about him, experiencing his people together. 1 hour on Sunday is not enough. We have to practice the presence of God constantly. The Bible tells us, pray without, meaning that you are not just a Christian in these walls. You are not just a Christian when you pray before a meal. You are a Christian if you claim that title and everything that it means. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness. Cast out the old. Accept the transforming power of the new. But in all things, learn, grow, do, not just here, but at home, at work. Be willing to be a recipient of God's Spirit, of God's Word. And if that's something that you've neglected, if that's something that's been set aside because in some way, shape, or form it's been inconvenience, if that's something that we all need to rededicate ourselves often. That's not just one or two of us that bad things happen to. That's all of us. Because the enemy will come after us. When things happen that brings glory to God, that's when he sends out even more things to try to trip us up. And that's, no one here is a stranger to that. Rededication, renewal. Accountability to your fellows, fellowship with each other, loving each other, praying with each other. This is the hallmark of the Christian life. This is how we do become pure in heart. And if there's something that is in the way, if there's something that life put in the way, we're going to enter into a time of invitation. Now, for you, that means that if you don't know what we're talking about, if the idea of this Christ-likeness, if you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, but if you feel that tug on your heart that says, I might have known Jesus about him, I might be aware of him, but I don't have that personal relationship with him. If you can say honestly that you know about him, but not that you know him, and you hear that knocking on your heart, come forward. What a glorious day. You see, the sun's starting to break through. What a glorious day to be the day of someone's salvation. All you have to do, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever, what? Believeth in him. All you have to do is believe. Cast down the old person, accept the new. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Repent. Believe. Turn yourself to him. If things have gotten in the way, That's what this altar is for, that we can come to him in prayer and say, take the stuff out of my life that is separating me from you and restore me into that right relationship with you so I can feel you, so I can hear your voice, so I can experience the fullness of a relationship with you. If you don't have a church home, I can recommend a Jim Dandy, a loving group of people that are more than willing to embrace you, take you in. As the old lady once said, love you, clean you up, feed you, and keep you. You can see my waistline and attest to that. But there is a wonderful group of people here, a fellowship of believers, ready to embrace you with open arms. If there's just a need on your heart, a severe need for prayer, something that has a grip on you, something that is separating you from the joy that you should have, the peace that you should have, be it a concern for yourself, a concern for somebody that you love, that's what this altar is for. Come with us. Come forward and let us pray with you, hold you and support you. Whatever the need is, come. As the musicians come forward, you'll stand as we sing.
Thank you for listening to the latest podcast from High Lawn Baptist Church. If you'd like to learn more about High Lawn Baptist Church or donate to our ongoing ministry, you can do so online at highlawnbaptistchurch.org. We believe that when you love God, you share His Word, and when you love others, you spread the gospel. We hope you enjoyed today's message and pray that you'll join us again next time. Once again, thank you for listening.